Welcome to the Wags of SCI podcast, where we discuss life, love, and caregiving after spinal cord injury, hosted by Elena Pauly and Brooke Paget.
Both of our partners are quadriplegics, and after connecting online in 2017, we began the advocacy and support group Wags of SCI, which is an acronym for Wives and Girlfriends of Spinal Cord Injury.
We know firsthand the challenges that come with living this lifestyle, and our mission is to spread education, awareness, and positivity from our unique perspectives.
Join us each week as we tackle deep discussions around balancing life as a caregiver and a lover to someone with a spinal cord injury.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Wags of SCI podcast. Here we go. Hello, Wags of SCI family, and welcome back to another episode with your hosts, Elena Pauly and Brooke Paget.
Today, we are doing an episode all about magnesium from our perspectives, from our experiences, from the real life boots on the ground, Wags of SCI perspectives, so that it's easy to understand for people that are not necessarily sciencey and don't really understand the body. We're going to talk about magnesium, why you need it, why your partner definitely needs it, and why most people are depleted in magnesium in our society now. But before we do that, we wanted to send a big shout out to Robin Wishart of Wishart Brain and Spine Law. She is the official legal advocate for the Wags of SCI community. Robin and her team specialize in spinal cord injuries, and they know all the ins and outs of everything in that world, including caregiver issues. Robin has been working with us behind the scenes for 4 years now in our own personal cases, as well as many cases of the women in this community and their partners. It's really nice to have someone on our side that understands the legal intricacies about insurance paperwork, benefits paperwork, resources in your area. Robin tours the U.S. all the time, and she specializes in just really getting to the root of why things are the way they are in the legal system and how you can really work with the system. And, you know, all of these things are really important in, you know, this life as a caregiver, as a partner. We have enough stress to deal with, so why not put your legal questions on Robin? So if you want to speak to Robin about any questions that you may have, maybe you need a letter of medical recommendation, or you need resources in your area, or you need a threatening legal letter to help you get something that you really, really need, Robin is on your side. Please visit brainandspinelaw.com if you want to learn more about Robin and her team and what she does. And then you can also visit wagsofsci.com and click on the legal resources tab to learn more about her specific partnership with Wags of SCI.
So today we're talking about magnesium. Brooke, you came up with this really great idea to do a whole episode about this because we've had so many questions about, we have a lot of questions on the Facebook, the Wags of SCI Facebook private group, as it is around vitamins, supplements, medications. Of course, once our partner sustains spinal cord injury, you get sent home with a whole list of medications. And as we all know, there's a lot of side effects. They're not always beneficial, and they can kind of send your brain and body into a whirlwind of chaos. So, Brooke, this was a great topic by you to do a whole episode about this and basically take the information that everybody wants to know about magnesium. What is magnesium? Why is it important? Why is it important for you and your partner to take magnesium, and the different types of magnesium that you can take that are beneficial for you in different areas of your life? So let's start off, Brooke. Why should you and your partner take magnesium? Why is it important for both parties? Let's start with you.
Well, I think it's just really important to start right off the bat, just with a little disclaimer. Obviously, we are not physicians, we're not doctors, we're not scientists. We are just two normal women that have led a community since 2017. We have really great insights into kind of what the trends are and what the issues are with spinal cord injury and central nervous system issues, but also caregiver issues. And I think there's a lot of content out there that is very scientific. You know, and we'll be talking to some of our followers about this in the comments, or we'll be commenting about certain types of supplements, and it'll just be like, you know, you'll just kind of get a blank stare response in comment form, I find, where it's just like, huh? And so there's also a lot of podcasts out there about this kind of stuff, but it's really, really hard to find information that is easy to understand in a real life, real world kind of way. But also relating to our lives as caregivers and people with spinal cord injuries. I have not seen a podcast or any sort of information out there with how magnesium directly impacts spinal cord injury and how it directly impacts caregivers, caregiver hormones, and the stress that we're under. And so I think it's really important to do episodes like this from a real world perspective, because while we aren't doctors, while we aren't scientists, we still understand what it does for the body. We've experienced it ourselves. We've seen how it works with people with different level of injuries. And we've also talked to a lot of experts in this field and applied it to our lives as caregivers and people in spinal cord injury, the realm of spinal cord injury. So, little disclaimer, obviously we are not experts. Please speak to your doctor. We have to say this kind of stuff just so we don't want to be liable for anything. And also I have in the notes here, if you are on medication, you or your partner are on specific prescription medications or even supplements, you want to go to drugs.com and click on the interactions calculator that is available. So you can go to Google and search drugs.com drug interaction calculator, and you can go there and type in your medications, and you can type in multiple medications at once. And it'll show you if any of them interact in a negative way with magnesium. 90% of the time that doesn't happen with natural supplements, but there are certain medications that do interact with magnesium. So you actually should do this anyways, even if you don't want to take magnesium, you should go and do this drug interactions thing, because we've had a lot of stories in the past few years about how doctors don't even know what drugs interact with what drugs. And, you know, they don't know, and they prescribe something, and there ends up being, it ends up being found out that they interact in a negative way. And this stuff's really dangerous. So claim your power back and actually do this yourself for your partner and your medications if you're on them, just so you know, what interactions are which and what reacts with this and why you can't take this with this. And you may learn something new about your stack. Let's call it a stack. Okay, let's talk about magnesium and the role that it has with people with spinal cord injuries, but let's make this personal, right? You and I both have stories about how magnesium has worked in our own lives, how it's worked for our partners. But I think the foundation of why people need it is specifically, okay, let's talk about us. So us as caregivers, we are under a lot of stress. And even if you think you're not stressed, you're probably still stressed. because women like us, you know, we have a lot to do, right?
Mm-hmm. And I think it's actually, important to say that stress, like you said, when you think you're not stressed, it's just the, I think it's just the responsibility of caring for another person who is reliant on you to, hey, babe, can you just get this? Hey, can you reach this? Can you get me this? Can you open the door here? Can you help me with this? Even if you're really, really, really patient and great at self-regulating, these are being asked to do various tasks when you have a lot of thoughts in your own head, when you're taking care of yourself and taking care of your household and your partner. It might not seem like stress right away, but just the disruption in your daily routine or in the tasks that you're already doing, it's being present, being able to take yourself out of your own brain in the specific moment of whatever it is you're doing to help the other person. That can later on, like for myself, it's usually when I go to bed and I have all these thoughts in my head and they're running crazy about the things that happen throughout the day and the things that sometimes you'll be doing a task and in the middle of your task, your partner will ask for some assistance and then you forget your task. I mean, how many times has that happened to you?
Oh my God.
Where you're like, wait a minute, what was I doing again?
Yeah.
Oh my God, where did I put that? Oh wait, what happened here? And then in our household, a lot of the time the conversation is around, hey babe, where did you put that? And it's like, usually I put that, I put whatever it is you're looking for somewhere in the middle of me doing something, but you asked me to do something else. So it's just being able to balance that. So that I just wanted to pinpoint, like, I'm very notorious for saying, I'm not stressed. I don't have stress. And then later on, I'm like, okay, this is just like a buildup of like the human experience of living and helping your partner within the four walls of your house, right? Or whatever it is, being a caregiver to your partner.
Well, and when we are all under chronic stress, I would argue that every single person living in a Western society is under chronic stress all the time, and they're just not aware of it. The body is really good at using adrenaline and cortisol and different hormones in the body to not block out the stress, but get used to the stress, right? To the point where it's like you think it's normal and you don't know what it feels like to not be stressed anymore. So for us caregivers, it's like, this is a common thing. A lot of this stuff gets blocked out by the body, so you wouldn't even know. So it's really important to like look at these various supplements and say, am I deficient in these kind of things? Do I have? So what you can do is, firstly, you can go, I mean, this isn't necessarily the most reliable source, but you can go on Google if you want and type in signs of magnesium deficiency. Personally, I found that, when you go and look on Google, the symptoms are very extreme. And I would say if you have those symptoms like nausea, loss of appetite, this and that, all of that stuff, it could be a lot of other different things. And that's extreme magnesium deficiency. I would say from the stuff that I've read and from the studies that are coming out now, especially in the biohacking arena of health and wellness, is that literally 95% of the world is magnesium deficient. And there's a lot of reasons for that, which we will get to that in a little bit. But for now, what is magnesium? Well, it's a trace mineral that is available in your foods and in your environment. And it is essential for women for hormone balance, but also for calming, mostly calming nerves, calming the central nervous system, helps with anxiety, helps with mood swings. There are a few different kinds of magnesium, which we will get into later in the podcast. So you can kind of select based on what you think your issues are, but it is an essential mineral that also helps with maintaining bone density, which is very important. And then you get into the realm of someone with a spinal cord injury. The main thing to understand about magnesium is it gets depleted by extreme stress. And our partner's bodies are under extreme stress all the time with a central nervous system issue, that the environment is always threatening to them. Even if you think that it's not, it is. And this is why there's so many secondary conditions, because the body is always under fight or flight. It is just trying to survive. It's been traumatized by a spinal cord injury that is locked in the body. And, you know, some Eastern medicine practitioners would say, actually a lot of them would probably say, that the paralysis has a lot to do with the trauma that's stuck in the body, and you're literally paralyzed, right? So that being said, the amount of magnesium that people gets depleted so quickly when you're under stress, because your body is using so much of it, because it needs so much of it. So why else is it important? Well, it's important because it actually directly controls chemical messengers in the brain, so neurotransmitters. What do neurotransmitters do? They have a calming effect on the body. So when your neurotransmitters, you know, you were talking earlier about how when you go to bed, your thoughts are just blah, 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 all over the place. That's because your neurotransmitters are not stabilized. They are releasing things. They're releasing things. They need to discharge all of the stuff that's happened. And that's how it happens. It usually goes from the body up to the brain and then out, right? And so if we don't realize that, we just get ruminating thoughts. And, you know, it's a vicious cycle of how it goes back into the body and then up to the brain and up to the body. And blah. What magnesium does is it actually helps to regulate the neurotransmitters so that they're calm and relaxed, and they're not firing on all different angles and trying to get your attention because they're depleted in magnesium. So this not only helps the brain, but it also helps the body, because the brain works with the body and it manages the stress response and the cortisol levels in the body. And, you know, again, I feel like everybody needs support in that area. So I do have a little story before we get into the rest of the podcast, a short story about when my partner was first injured. He actually asked his spine surgeon in the follow-up appointment. He had a follow-up appointment where the spine surgeon was, he still had his cast on his neck, not the cast, but the neck brace on. And he was going to get the neck brace taken off, and the doctor was going to give him kind of his final thoughts before Evan was not his patient anymore and he would go out into the world, right? And so the spine surgeon basically was looking at his neck and this, and Evan said, you know, I have a final question for you. And the spine surgeon was like, yeah, what is that? And he's like, you've had a lot of experience over the past 25 years fixing people's broken necks and fixing people's broken backs. And what do you think is the number one thing you would recommend as far as a healing modality that's not necessarily physio or a physical modality, or a machine or anything outside of the body? What would you recommend as far as nutrients or something that you've noticed that actually has an impact from your research and from what you've seen? And he literally looked at Evan and he said, CoQ10 and magnesium. And Evan was like, oh, and he's like, people don't understand how much this has to do with nerve healing. And Evan was like, nerve healing, interesting. He's like, yes. He's like, all of the latest research that hasn't even been published yet, it's coming down the pipeline, talks about how nerves respond so well to magnesium, and it actually makes the nerves grow way faster than without, and if you have a depleted amount of magnesium in your body. So that was very, very interesting. And Evan was like, wow, that's, you know, like, Evan understands the natural health space pretty well, and he follows the natural health model a lot more than the Western medicine model, but he was actually surprised that the doctor would say this. And so, yeah, that was the little story that he had. So from that on out, he was just like, well, this is a really important trace mineral. However, you need to know which kind of magnesium works for your body, because when you have a bowel routine to attend to, you cannot choose a magnesium that has a laxative effect, which a lot of the forms of magnesium does. So we'll get into that after. But let's talk about, so I was speaking about earlier about like why people are, you know, pretty well all deficient in this trace mineral. And why is that, Elena? Like in your perspective and from what you've seen, like why are people just generally deficient in this trace mineral?
Well, from my perspective and from my lived experience, I can only speak to that. I think that, first of all, it's a big world out there, of vitamins, minerals, supplements, and it's a really tough one to navigate, because I feel like almost everybody and their dog is trying to sell you something, some kind of supplement, Instagram, right? People are trying to sell you something that is hard to know, the quality of whatever you're taking. It's hard to know if you are deficient in something. So a lot of the time, this huge amount of flow of information, and I would say even misinformation, can be extremely difficult to navigate and to be able to know what is it exactly that I'm reading, what is scientific, what is true, what is not, who's just trying to sell me a book or their combination of whatever supplement, and what is exactly even in it, because it's not regulated. So it's like, what does that even look like? What is FDA regulation even really mean, right? So to be able to take apart that entire system of knowing what you're putting into your body, unless you're going out and getting these minerals yourself, it can be really complicated. And it's really difficult to find somebody you trust. So I feel like the majority of us, myself included, we get overwhelmed by the information or the lack thereof, that we just don't do it. We don't take it. We don't know what we're missing. We don't really know, you know, and the argument stands that if you're getting a well-balanced diet, I'm going to play the devil's advocate here a little bit. If you're getting a well-balanced diet of all your, you know, whole foods and your proper oils from salmon or from nuts or whatnot, then why would you need to take supplements? And I've heard the argument as well, like, oh, you know, vitamins are nothing but expensive pee. I've heard that as well. So throughout the years, this is really interesting, because throughout the years, specifically since I've taken the route of getting off of my SSRIs, the only determinant I feel that you can really rely on is when you take something and you see how you feel after it. You take a certain vitamin, and then how does that make you feel after that? And I feel like that has been my marker. You and I have also done our own research in these topics, where we have trusted places in Vancouver, health food stores that we like to go that will actually sit down and give you the information and educate you a little bit. Finlandia is one of those places, and give you information without you just like kind of walking in and just starting to grab random things off the shelves, not really knowing what you're doing. But it's also really important to be able to look at the back of, read the back of the bottle and see what the quality of whatever the vitamin is that you're taking. So back to your question, why are people lacking in magnesium? I believe it's because we just don't know what we're reading, what we're looking for. We don't even know where to start, that it, when it becomes really overwhelming, you just kind of say, whatever, I'll look into this another day, because you don't have enough time to do the research. So at the very core of it, it's you're probably lacking because you don't know what to look for. You don't know what it feels like to actually have a full dose of a lot of these vitamins, and not just magnesium, a lot of other vitamins that I think people just get overwhelmed, right?
And being let's face it. Being a caregiver, you're already overwhelmed, right? But not even just that, that these kind of things, you're not taught in school unless you go and take nutrition and science-y. Even in, right. I took a nutrition course in my thing, and we didn't get into like the importance of why you should take these supplements, like, or what food sources of magnesium are rich in magnesium, right? Like, you don't learn this stuff. It's just like not learning how to do your taxes. It's like the education system doesn't support real life, like understanding of what these things are doing in your body. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's like, so you kind of have to have either someone who's interested in your family or someone who can guide you, like what you were talking about, people at natural health pharmacies. But yeah, you have to be really careful about like what's in your supplements too. So yeah, it gets like very, very overwhelming. But the good thing is like, you know, you had mentioned about how if you have a really balanced diet, then your magnesium should be okay. And that is a really big argument from people that are like, supplements are garbage, supplements are trash. You don't need them because you should be getting them in your foods. Yes, that is true. But you also have to understand, and Dr. Zach Bush, his name is Dr. Zach Bush, and he is a triple board certified physician, but he also is a specialist in soil. And the compounds in the soil that our food is grown in now. And him and his team over the past 25 years have done so much research into the compounds in soil, and how because of farming chemicals, because of leaching, because of groundwater problems, because of just the quality of soil in the food that nowadays, even in organic food, crop rotation isn't as prevalent in our farming system because of lack of space, because of lack of finances. Basically, the whole farming industry as a whole is very, very different than it was even 100 years ago. And the quality of magnesium in foods is just not there anymore. And so his whole argument, along with a lot of other people that specialize in this stuff, says you have to be eating super, super sustainable, small, local farmed produce and meats that actually care about their soil and that actually know what they're doing as far as crop rotation. That being said, who the heck does that, right? Especially with limited income, people don't do that. And so 90% of people in the world are eating more processed foods, they're eating non-organic foods, and the soil quality is depleted. So your fruits and vegetables will not have these kind of trace minerals in them anymore because they get them from the soil. And so this is why regenerative farming is so, so, so important, and why you should buy locally from small farms where you know what they do with their soil. Because the large scale Costco, Walmart, big box stores where a lot of people get their produce, you're not getting the nutrients that you need. So therefore, supplementation is really, really important. Good supplements are really important because magnesium is rather cheap, right? You can get good quality magnesium that is rather cheap in most forms. So it makes it more accessible to people that can't afford to buy regeneratively farmed things, or if you're extra, extra stressed and you still buy organic, or you still really care about your diet and you spend a lot of money on it, but you still feel like you're lacking in these kind of balanced mineral sense, or you're under a lot more stress than normal, then you should use a supplement. But yeah, if we lived at that 100 years ago and we had our amazing farms that haven't been corrupted by chemicals and poisons, and you know, that it's dead soil that we're working with nowadays, right? Unless, you know, unless you have access to some really, really special farms out there, which are very rare nowadays as well. It's that makes me sad, right? We just don't have access to the nutrition that we once had on Earth, right? So right. You make up to it with a good quality supplement.
And that could be a whole other podcast on eating organic and why people eat organic, or why people support locally, right? Or why, you know, that's a whole, that's a whole other debate we can
Good make. Idea.
Yeah. So Brooke, do you and Evan, I just want to hop in real quick and ask, do you and Evan take magnesium, and what kind and why?
I was just going to say, let's get into the kinds of magnesium, because we have a little cheat sheet here. If anyone is interested in researching magnesium, just type into a search engine which magnesium supplement is right for you. And there is a lot of information online of the 10 different types of magnesium and what their purposes are, because that in itself can be overwhelming, but it's also really, really interesting if you're into this kind of stuff and you really want to kind of like own in on like what you need for your body and what's right for you. let's first talk about the bowel issue with magnesium, because it took us a long time to find the right magnesium for my partner that didn't make him have more bowel movements. And let's face it, as wags of SCI, we want to avoid that, right? We already do it every day, every second day. So we don't want to have, you know, 2-3 a day kind of issue. Or we also don't want to have, you know, sorry, too much information, but it's true. We also don't want a runny situation there, right? So definitely, you know, a lot of these guys use magnesium citrate or milk of magnesium as a laxative. Okay. So if they use it as a laxative, you don't want to supplement with a laxative magnesium. So magnesium citrate is the more widely available powdered form that it has a laxative effect. It's also really good for digestion. So don't double up on that kind of stuff. If you already use it as a laxative, don't use citrate for your partner.
Well, and you don't want to be taking this and then going out for whatever, going out for any kind of outing outside of the house and then having an accident while you're out and about, because that is those are some of the trickiest situations, right? Being able to get home in time, being able to find a place to clean yourself up, the whole thing. It's just, those are the real life experiences of somebody with a spinal cord injury as it is.
Well, and that being said about citrate, you use citrate, but in a different form. Do you want to explain about why you use that form?
The form?
Yeah, like the spray form.
Oh, yes. So I personally, myself, I actually use magnesium chloride. And I use that to relax my muscles, and I like the spray. I mean, we have two different types of magnesium in our house. One of them is, I put on Dan's legs. And again, this is for like muscle, relaxation. So the one that we use is actually magnesium chloride, to relax muscles. And that helps at nighttime with a little bit. I'm not entirely sure about the muscle spasms quite yet, but I do know that it's more of a relaxation effect for Dan. I was in a car accident this last week. So I was hit by a garbage truck. And so that kind of shook me a bit. Even my car is very small. I have a little high end, I have a Veloster. So the comparison between my specifically tiny car and the garbage truck is quite significant, and it was not a serious accident. There's no blood, there's no broken bones, but I definitely felt the effects of just getting rocked on the side. So I felt that in my neck and my lower back. So the first thing, you know, I went to the doctor's office and the doctor prescribed me muscle relaxers. And as I've said so many times before, I try to steer away from prescription pharma medications as much as possible. So the other thing that I did was I left my doctor's office and I looked across the street, and there's an amazing little health food herbal store. So I went there called Gaia's Garden and I got this magnesium spray. And honestly, I was like immediately drawn to it without realizing why, but I knew that my body really needed some relaxation and just to be able to like chill. And not only is it just for stress, but it's helped me a lot. Like even this morning before we sat down to do this podcast, I sprayed some in those areas and I'm already feeling a lot better. So I like the absorption that it has, a quick absorption into the skin. I don't mind the smell of this specific one. I think it has some other nice herbal things in it, but I just like the feeling of spraying something on me because it also does a brain body connection activity for myself where I'm able to activate my senses by smelling, by feeling, by seeing. And just, it's just become a routine. I feel like we've been taking magnesium topically for quite a while, for a few months, and I've definitely noticed it. And I know a lot of people say, you know, be careful, just don't take it during the day. It can make some people really relaxed and tired and help with sleep. But I think because my nervous system is so insane right now from the accident and being a caregiver combined in there, that this has actually really been helpful to myself.
Yeah, and especially because you're draining a lot of magnesium by dealing with these extra stressors. But I think the spray and then topical cream, they're a really good delivery system for citrate or chloride. Or I think there's a couple of other different, I think oxide also comes in a cream. But the skin is one of the biggest absorbers in the body. So if you put topical or spray on your partner's feet. Let's just say you have trouble with digestion or your partner has trouble with digestion, or you just don't like the pill thing like you, Elena, like you're just like, I'd rather spray it or put it on my body. That is a really, really solid delivery system because you're still getting this amount of magnesium that you would need through the skin and it doesn't go through the digestive tract. So then you don't have no possibility of having a bowel accident, which is huge for this community, mm-hmm. right? Because you don't want to risk that. So next up is glycinate. So magnesium biglycinate is what I take and what Evan takes. And that is the best one for sleep and for mood. It's especially good for women because it has the most hormone regulating impact. And what Evan and I do is we take it about 1 hour before we go to bed. And that's kind of our dose. And, you know, it's interesting because like you go on Reddit and you talk about magnesium glycinate and people talk about how they have way more vivid dreams and more dreams in general on magnesium glycinate. And it's very true. It's very true. You have more dreams, you're in more REM sleep. So you sleep harder. And for someone like me, I didn't really have dreams. I've never been a dreamer. I've never had dreams before, even before my partner's accident. I was never someone who had dreams. And since starting to take glycinate, I really notice like vivid dreams, which is very interesting.
That's and so funny like that. Because this is something that you sent me home with the other day, the last time I saw you. Brooke was like, hey, listen, I know that you're a super vivid dreamer and a lucid dreamer. I want you to take this, have an experiment, or you'll go straight to Pluto and back. So that, I'll be honest with you, I don't know where I put it, so I haven't had the chance to take it, but I might need to get some more and try that again. But that's very interesting.
So the trick is you combine magnesium glycinate with this, it's called xanthianine. It's called theanine. Mm-hmm. And it's like really, really good for relaxing neurotransmitters and GABA specifically, regulating that in the brain and helping you to relax and either concentrate or sleep. It just basically makes you pretty focused and relaxed. So you combine a B vitamin with xanthianine with magnesium glycinate. And apparently that is the cocktail of like the best vivid dreams. So I gave that cocktail to Elena. So I hope you find it.
Sounds like a psilocybin experiment,
Brooke. It's that combo. Yeah, no, it's so like you type it into Reddit and there's a lot of people that have experienced that, which is like, it's cool because it's natural. You're not doing anything harmful to your body and it's actually really helping your neurotransmitters. So I don't know. I thought it was pretty cool. I've given it to my husband before. He says it really, really helps him to sleep deeply, which is great. Again, you know, these guys have a lot of issues with their nervous system. So, you know, that the releasing the day's activities when you lay down at night is it's a very interesting experience for these guys. Okay, so next on the list is 3 and 8. So, okay, I was on magnesium 3 and 8 for years and years. It is the only one that can bypass the blood-brain barrier, and it is amazing for the brain. So if you feel like you struggle with brain fog, this is the supplement for you. Magnesium 3 and 8. This directly goes through the blood-brain barrier, and it interacts with your brain in such a way where there's so many studies out there. You can Google them yourself on 3 and 8 and how it helps improve cognitive function and memory. So that's a really good option.
So for those of you who are in school studying, yes, to take the LSAT, yes, get on this stuff.
Yes. I specifically liked it because I had so many things to remember. And then I just kind of intuitively decided I wanted to try another kind about, I don't know, 6 months ago, glycinate, just because I wanted to see the sleep situation and how it interacts with the different brain chemicals. I just wanted to see if there was a big difference. And there was, for sure. Okay, so then the next is magnesium malate. So this is really good for the muscles. However, it does have a slight laxative effect. So you want to try small doses. This one is really, really good for spasms. It's similar to chloride, but it's really, really good for the muscles in general.
So this is for muscle pain specifically, whereas chloride is to relax muscles.
Yeah, so it like penetrates the muscle fibers, and it does it by relaxing them, but it has more of an effect on pain. But again, it's like, this is like the perfect thing. It's like when people ask us questions about weed, it's like, what form works the best? It's like, I don't know. Like, you have to try them all and see which one you're drawn to and research yourself. Cause the next one is magnesium taurate. And that is really good for the heart, right? However, you got to check the interactions on that because there's, you know, especially if you're on heart medication or your partner's on some sort of, you know, heart medication, you don't want to like double up in that. But I mean, there's so many different kinds, right? And it works so differently on everybody, right? So I don't know.
Well, it depends on so many things.
Yeah, 100%. Right? Magnesium taurate is also good for blood sugar and stuff like that, especially if you have insulin resistance problems. It's good for that. Again, you can find this all out when you're researching it. We're just giving you just a general breakdown. Then magnesium sulfate, which is for muscle soreness.
That's really interesting. So we have three different ones for muscles. So we have,
they all work with muscles. They all do. Even magnesium 3 and 8, it still works with muscles.
So we have muscle pain to relax muscles for muscle soreness. So it sounds like you should take this if you have issues with your muscles.
Well, magnesium sulfate is really good for bruising as well. Like it moves the blood a little bit more. And then like just joint issues, sulfate is really good for that. Like it's all these different like nuances of pain and stiffness. And you can really pinpoint like which one's right for you when you look into like all the very specific types. I don't know. I think it's really cool. And then obviously sulfate, it has a little bit more of a laxative effect. Oxide, magnesium oxide, which is the last one we're going to talk about, is really good for laxative. But it also has other really good side effects as well, like for the stomach and indigestion and that kind of thing. It works in the digestion a little bit better, but it also helps muscles.
So what would happen if you took all of them? If you went to the store and you got every single kind and you took them all.
I don't know what would happen. I think that you can get different types in different foods, but I don't think you should take all, like that's, I don't know. You can only handle so much until your body just says, no, I don't. Like there's only a certain amount of milligrams that are absorbable anyways, from like a supplement standpoint. I know that magnesium oxide it's the least bioavailable, but it does help with digestive issues. So I don't know. I think it goes through the gut and kind of leaves the body.
Well, and I think it's important for whoever is looking to get these things, go to your local health food store and talk to a professional. Yeah. There's always somebody behind the counter who works in this area that you can sit down, let them know what it is you're looking for, and they are very knowledgeable. They do have a lot of information. A lot of these herbalists will take the time and sit with you and sort of ask a lot of questions to make sure that you're taking the right thing that is what you're looking for.
Yeah. And there's also like fun quizzes online that you can find about like which type of magnesium is right for you, like those kind of things. But I think the whole point of this discussion from our perspective is, yes, obviously go to your local health food store, even go to your Whole Foods, local Whole Foods section of vitamins. If there's someone working there, they'll probably know, but do your own research. And it's really fun. It can be really fun because once you open the door of research into magnesium, you realize how vitally important it is for yourself. And you realize, oh my God, my partner needs this so badly. And this could be the difference between a full night of sleep versus a not full night of sleep. Or this could be the difference between stiffness and tension and less stiffness and tension. Like that, all these little things are huge, right? Mm-hmm. It could mean the difference between, you know, and you have to take any supplement you have to take regularly in order to see a difference anyways. And it's really important that, you know, you're cleaned out, right? Like if you're not really cleaned out, your partner doesn't eat really well or you don't eat really well, you're not going to notice that big of a difference. So it's really important to use it in addition to a good diet.
So before we move on, why don't you explain to somebody who wants to know how to get cleaned out really quickly, just in a couple sentences, what is the best way to do that before they start piling on a bunch of supplements or even, just a bunch of supplements?
I think taking out the things that are creating the issue in the first place, which you can go online and you can search the common allergens for a lot of people. I think a smart thing would be to eliminate dairy, wheat, and sugar from your diet for a couple of weeks and see how that makes you feel. And then once you get there, then you can just, you know, incorporate some like organic wheat if you absolutely have to have wheat, organic products into your diet. Just making sure that you're eliminating most of the aggressors in the human digestive tract, which is, you know, a lot of grains now in organic foods, fruits and vegetables that are coated in glyphosate and pesticides, which all organic fruits and vegetables are coated in different pesticides. So you want to like give your body the best chance to really absorb these nutrients. And you're not going to do that if you have pesticides, chemicals, heavy metals flowing through your body. So I would do like a simple diet of like eliminate dairy, sugar, wheat. I would try and go as organic as possible for a couple of weeks. Do it on the cheap. Go get the produce. You know, don't get the packaged foods. Just do produce and some simple meats for a couple of weeks and just see the difference. And you'll probably be blown away. You might not feel the best at first because your body will be clearing out stuff, but definitely do something like that. Just simplify. And then you can start looking into supplementation.
Or your body goes into like hangover kind of feeling of like detoxification, right? Where it's like, oh, I'm so angry. I need that cookie. I need that sugar, or I need that whatever, fill in the blanks. I know that my body does that where I'm like, after I have a meal, I'm like, oh, I could definitely go for like a bite of chocolate or something. You know what I mean? So those are important things also to pay attention to when it comes to like your mood and stability of that and like what you're being gravitating to or what you're feeling like you're being pulled towards.
Well, and your body gets addicted to these chemicals, mm-hmm. right? Your body gets literally addicted to them. There's a doctor, he's actually really interesting for anyone who is interested in going a little bit into a deeper sense as far as like detoxification and gene imbalances and foods and what they do. There's a doctor called Dr. Ben Lynch, and he has this book called Dirty Genes, which it's available on Amazon. It is like, he is so knowledgeable about different interactions of supplements in the body and what is good, what is bad. And there's a bunch of quizzes in the book so you can find out like what your imbalances are. Again, this is a whole other podcast topic, but if you're interested, definitely look that up. So do you want to talk about food sources quickly? So there's a lot of ways to get magnesium that where you don't have to go and get the supplement. I mean, the supplement is very easy. You know, you can take it whenever. It doesn't really, you know, as you want to have a good diet, but if you're really struggling and stressed and you can't really go there right now, then, you know, pills are probably easy, but you can also get it in foods, like pumpkin seeds, which have a really high, magnesium content. And then obviously king salmon, wild salmon, definitely wild salmon, not farm salmon, organic nuts like Brazil nuts. And then, one of your favorites, mackerel, has a lot of magnesium in there. So like a lot of fish, wild fish, not farmed fish, a lot of nuts and seeds have a high level, including almonds and cashews and sunflower seeds. And like there's some tofu. If you get organic tofu, it's also very high in magnesium. And these are all complete sources of magnesium that come from foods. But again, if you can't afford to buy organic, don't do the food route, because there's no point in eating a piece of farmed fish to get magnesium when it's been depleted of nutrients before it even hits your body.
Right. And it's pumped full of dyes and things as well, which is can be really harmful for you. I think, and a lot of people, like I've noticed that too, like when I was even like, when I was vegan or vegetarian for a while there, one of the best ways to stay healthy is by taking things like tofu and nuts and tempeh. And, you know, you don't realize at the time how very important these are, because they do have the magnesium, but they have so many other nutrients that can balance you as well. I know that you don't love uncooked spinach, but it's on the list. We've got spinach, Swiss chard. And if you have a bit of a, like, I know I have a hard time digesting spinach, so you could easily just squeeze some lemon on it and just sort of saute it real quick. And those are really good. Prickly pears. I don't think I've had a prickly pear in a very long time, but that's really neat that that is one of the fruits that's on the list.
Yeah, that is very interesting. Yeah.
And then we've got buckwheat, black-eyed peas. I think that's it. That is
our cheese. Cheese has a decent amount of magnesium, but again, you have to spend more money and get the unpasteurized, preferably raw. I know in the States it's easier to get raw cheese, where the enzymes are intact in the cheese. If you're just getting, you know, big box store cheese, it's just, it's basically like eating nothing. So.
What about Kraft dinner? What about a box of Kraft dinner with powdered cheese?
Yum.
Anyways, you got to be careful.
Beans have a lot of magnesium just in general, but again, you got to get the organic stuff because I encourage everybody to look into this nutrient depletion thing. That's a huge problem. Everyone's so focused on the climate change. It's like, well, this is a bigger problem, because if we're not getting proper soil, then nothing grows. Nothing grows properly. Another way to get a lot of magnesium is beef liver. So I don't know who's into beef liver out there.
Organ meats.
It's really high in magnesium and minerals in general. You want to get like the grass-fed, grass-finished, higher-end stuff, but it's worth it. And you don't actually need that much. I think they recommend like a quarter size of liver a day. It gives you so many vitamins and nutrients, and they're all bioavailable because they're coming from the animal. So if you are into that kind of stuff, that's the best thing. And there's also a lot of different supplementations out there that are pure grass-fed, grass-finished beef that's been powdered. That you can get very easily if you don't like the taste of liver, but it's just really good, especially for women, and iron deficiency and all that stuff. Again, another podcast, but this kind of podcast, this discussion, it's really important to talk about it. Like we said at the beginning, from a real world perspective, women that are actually living life, not sciencey, women that are just experimenting and wanting to live their best lives. It's important we talk about this stuff with each other. And that's like the whole purpose of the WAGS group, because it brings these ideas to the surface so that women can investigate it in their own lives and empower themselves, and they don't have to rely on pills as much.
Right, especially because there's so many side effects with pharmaceuticals, and that is something that I think both of us stand very strongly behind saying that. And in fact, the story that you and I quickly shared before the podcast was discussing how so many people are actually taking back their power and their health by getting off of a lot of these pharmaceuticals that can have them very addicted, right? And SSRI, magnesium depletion, that is a big one. So Anyways, you have had the pleasure of listening to another podcast with your hosts, Elena Pauly and Brooke Paget. Thank you for joining us for the last 45 minutes discussing magnesium. If you have any other stories or questions or suggestions, or you're curious about finding out more, or you would like to share some of your resources and links, please don't hesitate and email us. We love hearing from you guys. We get oodles of emails every single week, and it is really the highlight, I feel like, of like our weekend to sit down and scroll through some of these and be able to get some feedback from you guys. So our email is wagsofsei@gmail.com, wagsofsei@gmail.com, and please don't hesitate to reach out to us if you are a Wag of SEI wife or girlfriend, dating or married to somebody with a spinal cord injury. Please join us on our Facebook private group, open 24/7, moderated by 5 women, and that is Wag of SEI private discussion group on Facebook. So until next time, thank you for tuning in. Take care of yourselves and love one another.
Cheers.